Republican congressman yesterday introduced draft legislation to take the air traffic control system private. It would split the FAA in half, privatize the operational part, and hand it over to the employees. The bill is sponsored by Representative John Mica, former chairman of the House Transportation Committee. In our congressional spotlight, Mica tells me this isn't his first attempt to change things.
Over the years, I've tried various reforms, some revisions and reorganizations, restructuring, creation of a chief operating officer position for FAA, try to get it to function better, and also get it into the next generation of technology and operations. It's a sense of frustration, not only by myself, but others, that it's not working. So this model is set up to turn over, basically, the air traffic control operations to air traffic control employees. It becomes an employee stock ownership corporation. They own it. They will help manage it. We also involve stakeholders, the airlines and others, FAA, and they operate it. It's not the same model they have in Canada or Europe, but an ESOP, employee stock ownership. I feel the employees and some of the leadership in FAA can run it better than big government bureaucracy, which unfortunately has been dysfunctional in delivering us to next generation technology. The conditions for working for air traffic controllers, I don't think, are the standard they should be. And we're falling further behind in getting to next generation air traffic control.
So that would leave the government with the piece that you say does not work very well, which is the policy, management, and technology shop. And would you also reform that, as it would be left over with the government?
It does leave the government with some important government responsibilities, certification, oversight, and they would have, I think, very substantial input. They also pay the bill for this operation, so that gives them a good handle. And making certain that there's accountability, there's responsibility, and the system is moving forward. So right now they're trying to do everything, and it's not working as well as it should. So this is something we're putting on the table. It's not a final proposal by any means. I've invited the FAA employee groups. We've invited the airlines. We've invited all the stakeholders to submit their ideas and suggestions. And hopefully this is, we began the discussion with a hearing several weeks ago and got pretty good response. There seems to be surprising support for looking at a dramatic revision, and this would be the biggest change in air traffic system and air traffic control in the history of the country. So it has the potential to at least open the discussion and then see if we could craft something that would do the job better.
And so presumably the piece the federal government has would be funded by appropriations and fees and user fees and so forth would fund the new ESOP? Is that the financial model?
Pretty much a self-supporting operation when the employees operate it, and the government would pay a fee and continue to collect those fees, and some of the fees that we now have would continue. You've got AIP and some others, and you have to be able to finance it, but the operators have a new incentive to perform. They own the operation and the company. And we expect them to be held accountable. And the government, again, is a very important stakeholder. It allows FAA to concentrate, too, on certification, on oversight, and other important federal responsibilities, and the system to be operated and administered by air traffic control personnel and stakeholders.
We're speaking with Representative John Mica of Florida. And how would you make sure that this does not become another Amtrak?
Amtrak is a different situation. It was created when the passenger rail system collapsed, and the stock ownership is different. The Amtrak employees actually don't own the system. In fact, that's a good idea. We might look at incorporating this proposed ESOP model for Amtrak. We might get better operations out of that.
It couldn't get much worse.
No, but again, I've had a chance as both chairman of Aviation Subcommittee, chairman of Transportation, over a couple of decades to try to institute reforms. Some have been somewhat successful, but then you look at other models, Canada in particular, we're still operating with flight strips. We're still operating in conditions that I think are unacceptable for our air traffic controllers and those who manage and operate the system. We're dysfunctional in deploying the latest technology, and we're falling further behind in switching out from a land-based radar system to a space-age satellite-based system. So I think we've got some great employees. They're good workers. They know how to get the job done, and this does turn the responsibility over to those who I think can handle it.
And what has your reaction been from the airlines? Do they care one way or another as long as the planes stay apart?
Well, again, we had a pretty intensive hearing a couple of weeks back, and everyone sounded surprisingly supportive. Now, the devil is in the details. What we're putting out and introducing in legislation today is only a draft, and I would hope that everyone would come together and see what kind of a model they think would be best for the United States. What's proposed today is different than the Canadian system or European or New Zealand, some of the other systems. But the United States is different. We have the largest amount of air traffic. But I think, again, engaging air traffic controllers, giving them a stake in this, I think they can and will do a better job. It's in their own self-interest, and they become someone with an important stake as a shareholder.
And what's your legislative strategy for this? You've got a draft bill. I mean, do you see this happening?
Well, we told folks we're going to introduce it. We have actually, for months now, we have sent out copies. We've met with folks and we welcome suggestions, and if the committee is willing, as they look at FAA reauthorization, and if they're bold and want to take a dramatic step and change out our system, this is, again, a marker, and there's no pride of authorship. It's just, hey, let's look at some way that we can do this better and keep the system safe and then keep us in competition with the world. If we lose out, like for right now, Canada is going to be, by 2017, 2018, we'll actually have a space-based system in place for air traffic control. They're only 10% of our size. They've changed out all of their towers. It's a paperless, automated system. Their working conditions are just so much better than our employees. So we can look at who's been successful, what they've employed, and then what will work here. The main thing is getting the best technology, safest system. We've been pretty lucky so far because ours is sort of patchworked and Band-Aid, but you can't rely on that for the future. So this is, again, a dramatic change, but maybe at the right time.
And final question, any sword play from the administration on this idea?
No, they don't come forward with a whole lot of initiatives. I think they're more reactive, and they'll wait and see what the air traffic controllers and the stakeholders do. And they're getting towards the end of their term. FAA reauthorization, I worked on and helped author the last two bills. One is chairman of aviation, one chairman of the full committee, and that has to be done sometime this year or an extension. You might recall last time we did 22 or 23 extensions, and then we had a showdown, a partial close down of FAA for a couple of weeks. But we don't need to be doing that. We need to be looking at what system, what structure we might absorb for the future to keep America number one in aviation, keep our system the safest, but also engage people in maybe a different manner.